your Bibles and turn back with me again, if you will, to Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading again at verse 23 down through verse 31. Our subject today, the wisdom of the decrees of Jehovah God. Acts chapter 4, beginning at verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, and hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined beforehand to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Last time we brought you a short message on the decrees of Jehovah God. We enlarge on that today, as today we'll show you the wisdom of the decrees of the Lord God of heaven. And beloved, let me say this to you kindly. My hope is that you'll listen carefully, you'll follow along in your Bible, because we want you to see what I set forth, and through it, you will become a stronger and a more vibrant believer if you are one. Our hope is that if you're not saved, the Lord will take these messages, drive them home into your heart, and cause you to seek him and a pardon from the Lord God of heaven. Because remember, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to reach down and to save you from your sin, degradation, and death. It's a wonderful thing to know the Lord, and my hope is that all of you do know him. Now, there are so many today who are living a weak and defeated life because they have never found out the reality and the grace as well as the wisdom of our God. They seem to know the Lord only in a very little manner, and they're like, as it were, a little child just beginning to walk. Well, God doesn't want you to remain that kind of a believer. He wants you to become a stalwart, strong Christian, one who knows what he believes and why he believes it. And this is one of the reasons why we're bringing you these messages at this present time. The meaning of the term decree is an authoritative order or decision deciding what is or is not to be done. And God has given a decree that he will work all things after the counsel of his own will. Then, the decree of God is this. It's the eternal purpose of God, whereby all the events of the universe are rendered certain and will bring glory to the name of the Lord God of heaven. Now, you chew on that for just a moment, if you will. Stop and realize how much this encompasses. It means that God's purpose is an eternal purpose. All the events of the universe are rendered certain, and that all things are working after the counsel of God's will. Even the persecution right here, as these early Christians prayed, and they said that the Jews and Gentiles and Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Jews and the Gentiles, they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. You see, the God of the Bible is Jehovah God. Any other God is a fake, and don't you forget it. Any other God outside of Jehovah God, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, is a false God, and the individual who worships any other God beside the Lord Jesus Christ is an idolater. Now, the God of the Bible has decreed certain things to come to pass. And today, for just a moment, we're going to look at the wisdom of these decrees. Remember now, a decree is the eternal purpose of God, whereby all the events of the universe are rendered certain and will bring glory to the name of the Lord God of heaven. Last time we told you, or talked to you for a moment or two, that the decrees of God include the good actions of mankind. It also includes the evil actions of mankind. And then the decrees of God also encompasses the so-called accidental actions or events. You see, there are no accidents with the Lord God of heaven. There are no crises, and there are no crises. Our Lord is always in control of everything. He brought that out very clearly when he prevented the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ from being broken that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, God's purpose embraces the means along with the end. It embraces the cause along with the effect. It embraces the condition along with the results or issues suspended upon it. It includes the orders and the relations and the dependencies of all events. Now, let that soak in, if you will. I realize that this is perhaps over the head of the vast majority of you listening to me at this hour, because so many today, about all they hear is John 3:16 and nothing else. And beloved, John 3:16 is very important, but the Word of God encompasses more than just that one verse of it. You see, the decrees of God included, and this is setting forth His wisdom, in the wisdom of God's decree, it included the birth, the death, the resurrection, the exaltation, and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's look at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ for just a moment. First of all, He was not born on December the 25th, and you and I ought to recognize that if we know anything about our Bible. Secondly, the birth of Christ was not a happenstance. It was prophesied and predestined and performed according to the decrees of the Lord God of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 9, we read, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever." Now notice these words. "The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Here you have, hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus was born, you have a prophecy telling us where He was to be born. Then we find also in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, we see very clearly that the book of Micah brings it out and tells us exactly where the Lord Jesus was to be born. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." Now this was a decree of the Lord God of heaven. This is the reason Mary and Joseph had to travel almost 60 miles to go to Bethlehem in order for Christ to be born. God had decreed it, and rest assured of one thing, it did come to pass. Then we find also the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was a decreed death by the Lord God of heaven. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verses 7 through 10, we see it set forth so very clearly where it says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Here you have the death of the Lord Jesus Christ prophesied. Again, we go to the New Testament, and we find in 1 Peter chapter 1, notice it carefully, we find in verse 20 or 18 through 20 these words, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now notice that. Here's the decree of the death of Christ. Here is the decree also of the birth of Christ. And we find, too, God had decreed that the Lord Jesus was to rise again from the dead. His resurrection is an established reality. Even though many today doubt it and disbelieve it, it doesn't change it one ever. God's decree of the resurrection of Christ has come to pass and restored him. Not only has Christ been resurrected, but he's exalted at this present time. And beloved, be assured of one thing, he also will return in the very near future. Now turn to Acts chapter 2, if you will, and look with me at verse 22 down through verse 24, where we read, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Then in verse 29 through 31, we read again, Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. And then in verse 33, we read of Christ's exaltation. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this, which you now see and hear. Here is the decree of the Lord God of heaven. And rest assured of one thing, my friend, there's one more aspect of the decree of God that I want to leave with you before we close. And that decree is speaking of the return of the Lord Jesus. Listen, beloved, God has given a decree at this hour, and you better obey it. This is what it says. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now these are the decrees of God. It set forth the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the exaltation of Christ, and it also sets forth very clearly the return of the Lord Jesus, because my Lord's coming back, and it won't be very long. But there's another decree, and right here, we're probably going to lose a whole lot of you who are listening to me, and you may rise up in anger, but rest assured of one thing. If you do, it only shows how wrong you are. Now, God's decree has also determined the reality and the manner of the salvation of God's elect. Now, hold your seat and listen before you jump up and shout, Whosoever will. I believe in just as much in whosoever will as you do. But the Word of God brings out that God has an elect people that are going to be saved. And we find that the decree of God says this, By the decree of for the manifestation of His glory, some men and angels are predestinated or foreordained to eternal life through Jesus Christ, to the praise of His glorious grace, others being left to act in their sin to their own just condemnation, to the praise of His glorious justice. As God has appointed the elect unto glory, so He hath by the eternal and most free purpose of His will foreordained all the means thereunto. Wherefore they who are elected, being fallen in Adam, are redeemed by Christ, are effectually called unto faith in Christ by His Spirit, working in due season, are justified, adopted, sanctified, and kept by His Spirit unto salvation. Neither are any other redeemed by Christ or effectually called, justified, adopted, sanctified, and saved, but the elect of God only. Now I know many of you are going to rise up in judgment on this preacher, and you're going to say, Preacher, you're all wrong. No, God's Word teaches this very clearly from Genesis to Revelation. And I invite your attention to John chapter 6. And look with me, if you will, at verse 37 and down to verse 39 and then verse 44 and 45, where we read these words. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. There's God's decree. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's your whosoever. But I said unto you, or I should say, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Then Jesus knew that these people were murmuring, so he said these words. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Here you see the wisdom of God's decree. Our Lord knows who's going to be saved. He knows who are not going to be saved. We don't. We preach whosoever. Yet we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the only ones that will respond to the effectual working of God the Holy Spirit are the elect that God has chosen and ordained to be saved. And beloved, anytime anybody argues against this truth, they argue against the decree of God. Now hold your seat as I give you this truth, if you will. The wonder of God's redemption is not that He saves many, but the wonder of God's redemption is that He saves any, because nobody deserves to be saved. And my friend, you have a responsibility at this very hour. I don't know who God's elect are, neither do you, but it is your responsibility and your imperative, yea, it is your necessity that you find out if you are one of the elect of God. The only way you can is for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a poor, lost, helpless, good-for-nothing sinner who is repenting before God, knowing that you deserve God's judgment, knowing how helpless you are, and crying out for the mercy of God to be bestowed upon you. This is what is meant when the Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out." You see, God has decreed the method of man's salvation. It's only through Christ, but also there has to be repentance and faith. Have you ever stood before God as a repentant sinner, helpless and hopeless and hapless, crying out for God to have mercy on you? And then the wonder of it all is that you were redeemed by Him. Oh, it's the greatest thing that can happen to you, and my hope is that it will at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter North here, saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.